Good morning. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church here in Sydney, Ohio. Couple of announcements. Next week, we will honor our graduates from high school and from colleges around the area, so stay tuned for that. The thrift shop needs some donations. They need some Lysol, Lysol wipes. They need cloth masks for volunteers and some hand sanitizer. And they need that because guess what? Tomorrow morning, the thrift shop reopens. Yay. I think we are getting close to worshiping in this room. It will be discussed Monday night at council, and we'll see how that comes out of that. I got a surprise yesterday in a message from Bishop Schroer, the Archbishop of Cincinnati, saying that Catholic Masses will resume on May 25th. So that will help us as I negotiate this with our bishop. Sad news, Dottie Morgan passed away this week. Long battle with cancer that finally took her life. Let's begin our worship with a brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And now may the peace of the risen Christ be with you always.
Stone, cornerstone, breathe. welcome with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, redeemed to stand before the throne.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us the desire to love one another, to follow in the way of his commandments, and to share his risen life with all the world. For he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. Our first lesson is from the 7th chapter of Acts. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second lesson is from the 2nd chapter of 1 Peter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." To you then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builder rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous night. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John from the 14th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. Would I have told you that I go prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, face ID on the pad doesn't work when you're wearing a mask. I'm wearing a mask today, one, because I should, but two, that we get used to it in this room. As we get ready to come back together, this is going to be one of the new norms that everyone in this room on a Sunday morning is wearing a mask. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms. The modern Mother's Day was first celebrated in 1908. When Anna Jarvis held a memorial for her mother at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. It was also part of an anti-war movement that Anna was leading. But it wasn't until 1914 that it was designated as a national holiday of the second Sunday in May by President Woodrow Wilson to honor all mothers. For me, though, today is the hardest day of the year to prepare a message. Our culture is so much about economic gain from jewelry, flowers, fruit, massages, the list goes on and on. And it's not so much about honoring the mothers, but that's not why it's difficult. We have many women who have children that love her, a husband that honors her, and that's really wonderful. It makes for happy day. But how about the woman who recently lost her mother or her daughter? She has a huge hole in her heart with this loss. Often a hole so large that the love of friends and family that surrounds her is really struggling to fill. How about the woman who so dearly wants to be a mother, but the biology of her and her husband is just not working to make that happen? She's not so happy on a day that reminds her of what she doesn't have. How about the woman whose husband has left her and the family, leaving her grieving for love that's been lost? So it's not a happy day for all women. But it's still a day about honoring women. If we look, we have two women who got books of the Bible named after them, Ruth and Esther. They both tell the story of a dedicated woman who was dedicated to family and to God. The first has a passage that is used frequently as scripture at weddings. Ruth, who along with her mother-in-law Naomi and her fellow Moabite Orpah, all had buried their husbands. They were left alone in a culture that honored only men as the head of household. Women were left no means of supporting themselves except by selling themselves into slavery or prostitution. When Naomi rejected these options, she told both of the girls to return to their homeland and their families, and she would do the same. Ruth, however, refused and told Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lie down, I will lie down. Your people are my people." Devotion to her new family and to her mother-in-law. The other woman, Esther, was sold into slavery because of her beauty. She initially hid her Jewish heritage, but after becoming queen, she put her own life on the line to save her people. Esther stood up to her king husband in a time and a culture that forbid women to do just that, let alone a Jewish woman. A plot against the Israelites was squashed and the whole nation was saved. The holiday of Purim is remembered by our Jewish friends to this day. Was she a mom? Nope, but a very brave woman. Probably the most famous woman in the Bible, of course, is Mary. Now, who could imagine being chosen by God to be the mother of his son? What more of an honor can there be to be chosen by God, and how scary is that? Mary Magdalene was chosen by God to be the first at the tomb to discover the resurrection. And because of that, she was able to deliver the first Easter Sunday sermon, as she told the disciples that Jesus was in fact alive. So how important was that for a woman? Eve, the first one, was created that man should not be alone. Man needed a companion. She was created from a rib from his side, not from his head, that she would lord over man, or from his back, so that she would follow him, but from his side, to be his partner, his companion. What is often lost in this creation of the female, the male is to be a companion, a partner, a co-worker in the kingdom with her. Not above her, not beneath her, but beside her. Both were created in the image of God, equals in his sight. Each of us today, with our own, although different biology, have been given tasks that are different, but equal nonetheless. With all that, I find it hard to understand why there are denominations that still limit the participation of women in the governance of the church. Excluding women, as you've heard, was certainly not God's plan. On this day we call Mother's Day, I want to honor all women. While there have been great men since the Garden of Eden, there have been equally great women. In each of our families today, there are women that we want to honor. From Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This commandment is bigger than mothers. It's to honor all women. In our gospel lesson today, we read about Thomas, who told Jesus that he didn't know where Jesus was going. The disciples at the time didn't grasp yet that Jesus would die, but then return to the Father. Many of us today don't know where we're going today or tomorrow. Women who are caring for their families are fearful of what's ahead for their children, as well as themselves. Hopefully, we all know that where we're ultimately going, but what about the rest of our earthly journey? What about next week? What about next month? Jesus gives us the answer to that, too. We just need to listen to his word. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Matthew, he tells us, come to me, all that you are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. During this time of uncertainty, more than ever, we need to turn to Jesus and his words. We may not know where we are going, but with Jesus guiding us along the way, we will find rest for our souls. So, maybe we don't actually need to know what is going to happen in the foreseeable future. The Israelites had no idea where God was leading them as they left Egypt. They had a very difficult journey, but they did reach the Promised Land. They didn't need to know where they were going. And if we let God lead us, maybe we don't need to know where we're going. I ask you later to open your Bibles and read Psalm 23 very carefully to see direction for how God will lead us. I think it's appropriate that Psalm 23 is read and heard in the midst of death and dying, and it's often included in funeral services. I'm asking you to think that, in fact, it might be more important that this psalm be read and heard as a psalm about living. Living today, right now, for it puts our daily activities, such as eating, drinking, seeking security, in a radically God-centered perspective that challenges our usual way of thinking. Furthermore, it calls us not simply to claim individual assurance, but also to take our place with others in the household of God. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. He knows the way. Amen. Let us profess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten from the Father, God from God, light from light, true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. All loving God, we're uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection. We now join the people of God in praying for the whole of your creation. Build us up as a mother would. Holy God, continually strengthen your church as it's sent forth to proclaim your love. We pray today especially for new congregations and those in redevelopment. We pray for congregations struggling with finances during this time of not being able to worship together. Lord, in your mercy, humble us, Creator God, as part of your creation. Fill us with respect and awe for the world that you have made. Fill us with respect and awe for the mothers in our lives. Lord, in your mercy, align the ways of all your people to your love. We pray for countries seeking leaders to guide them along your path. Help countries provide refuge and safety for those fleeing persecution. Lord, in your mercy, God of healing and rest, the world needs rest. We are struggling with a virus that is causing much grief. Comfort those who have become infected with this pestilence. Give wisdom to people trying to find a cure. Wrap your loving arms around grieving people who've lost a family member. We want to place this burden on your shoulders. Lord, in your mercy, nurturing God, we pray for those who are caring for and teaching our children. Give them strength, good health, and a sense that they're doing holy work. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, we ask an extra blessing on women this day. Those women who bring the next generation into the world. And those women like Sarah who've not been able to bring a child to birth. This day can be a time of joy and a time of sadness. Some mothers have been called home to be with you. Some women are struggling to be mothers. Some women are become mothers when they did not want to. Some women have had their children leave this life and be with you. Bless all these women in the roles that you've given them. Help them find peace in what you're walking with them on their journey of life. Lord, in your mercy, generous God, you call into your brilliant light all who have died. Give us faith to take hold of the promise of your eternal life. Today we remember the life of Rick Koch and Dottie Morgan, that they are now with you in your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, with bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place for all whom we pray into your eternal care, through Christ our Lord. Amen. I remind you that the expenses here at St. John go on, even though we are not gathering in this room. Please, if you can, mail in your offering, and if you can, even a bit more, so that the ministry that's going on and out of this congregation can continue. Let us give thanks. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day, you shower us with blessings as you've raised us to new life in Christ. Give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. So with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels, archangels, cherubim, and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made for us yourself, and we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death. You in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms on the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption. O Father, with this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be your people, the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of a new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As we've been brought together by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please join me now in the invitation to communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are truly present in the sacrament of communion. I desire to offer you praise and thanksgiving as I proclaim your resurrection. I love you above all things and long for you in my soul. Since I cannot receive you in the sacrament of your body and blood, come spiritually into my heart. Cleanse and strengthen me with your grace, Lord Jesus, and let me never be separated from you. May I live in you and you in me, in this life and in the life to come. May I always remember your sacrifice. Amen. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. And now may God the Father show you the way to go. May God the Son hold your hand, and God the Holy Spirit lift your spirits during your journey. Amen. Rejoice in the risen Christ. Take the message of hope to all. Go in peace and spread God's word.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
You're the only one I need. I turn to you and you are always there. In troubled times, it's you I see. Put you first, that's all I need. Humble all I am, all to you. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for. One way, Jesus, you're the only one that I could live for.